possibly.
Ah, Ken. Ken Worthington. Why the long face, Ken?
Mr. Chamberlain's owl has escaped.
No.
The talk about the owl, with accompanying slideshow, at the halfway house, can now no longer take place.
Let me explain, listeners. Tonight we were hoping to go to the halfway house to see Mr. Chamberlain show his owl. And you could stroke the plumage if you wanted to. I was planning, Ken, to do a phone-in with Joan Chitty to talk about her budget to get people in the mood.
Lovely.
Because, yes, all right, most of the listeners wouldn't be able to attend, but some of them might have been, you know.
Yeah.
I thought so with Mr. Chamberlain.
And the owl.
Yes, the owl as well, granted, Ken. Let's hope it's not too long before the owl is recaptured.
That's right.
Obviously, we'll keep you posted on that, listeners. In you come, Ken.
Thank you.
Yeah, this is grave news indeed.
It is. It is. Serving the Sheffield region and a little bit further even, Radio Shuttleworth. And it gets worse, John.
Oof.
Because Janet Leroux, who could have provided alternative entertainment with a karaoke machine, she's still poorly. That bad cold she had last week has developed into Hong Kong flu.
Has it?
So Gloria has asked me if I will mount a little production for tonight, a review or something, you know.
Well, I could do it, Ken, on my organ.
Can you guarantee that they won't wander back to the rooms?
Well, no. Nobody can guarantee that, can they, Ken?
Because that's what happened last time, isn't it? Who's your special guest this week?
It's the legendary Peter Purvis.
Is it?
Yes.
Of course! I've got it!
What? Go on, take your time, you're all right. Loosen your body warmer, Ken. It's very warm in here.
Yes, that's better.
Go on, Ken.
We shall mount a production of Peter Pan, but with Peter Purvis playing the title role.
Yeah, well, he's a bit long in the tooth for that role, Ken. I'm sure he won't mind me saying that. Ah, Darren would be better.
Ooh.
But, of course, he's working at Victoria Wine, so he's unavailable. What about me, Ken, as Peter Pan?
No, I don't think so, John.
Oh.
You're a bit old for that part, I think.
Well, you and me both, Ken.
Yes.
All right, then. Captain Hook it is.
I'm afraid not, John.
What do you mean?
I'm playing Captain Hook.
You?
Well, I'm eminently suited to the role.
What?
Because I've had my ears pierced, I've got curly hair, and I've got a nice frilly shirt, you know. I'm going to ask your daughter, Karen, to take the role of Wendy.
Are you?
And Mary, she'll play Tinkerbell. Right, better go off and write the script.
Hang on, Ken. What am I playing?
Oh, would you like to play the crocodile, John? Because you like dressing up in silly costumes, don't you?
Yes, I do. But where am I going to find a crocodile costume, Ken?
You don't need one. Do it symbolically.
What do you mean?
Well, Mary's got a crocodile skin handbag, hasn't she? You could swing it around and, you know, camp it up a bit.
Yeah.
Have an alarm clock, stuff down your jumper, and keep going. Oh, is that the time? I really must fly. Then mince off stage to be lovely.
Stupid.
Right. Karen, Mary, can I have a word?
If you're feeling down and your bubbles burst, tune into Radio Shuttleworth.
I want no part in Ken's production. Sounds awful, doesn't it, ladies and gentlemen? And I shan't even mention it to Peter Purvis when he arrives. I think Gloria would be better off having Joan Chitty talk about a budgie, because she's got a new plastic ladder. She's quite nice. She's got some webbing that the budgie clings onto. You know, it's quite interesting. The audience could examine the different types of seed that the budgie gets, you know. Excuse me. Peter Purvis.
John Shuttleworth.
You're very welcome.
I'm delighted I am.
Please, come in.
Thank you.
Cross the threshold.
Oops, sorry. it's raised that little bit, isn't it?
It is indeed, yeah, of course it is. Some people catch the foot on the rubber seal.
I did.
You did? Oof, you have, it's come adrift.
Sorry.
That's it, relocated it. That's your long legs, Peter. Because you're quite tall, aren't you?
I am, yes. Yeah. About 6 foot. I'm shrinking as I get older.
Well, we do.
We do.
Nothing we can do about that, Peter.
No.
But we grow in stature emotionally.
You obviously have.
I think you have too.
Oh, thank you.
Because I listen to your scrambling commentary and your Crufts commentary, and it's lovely.
Thank you very much.
Welcome to the lounge, Peter.
Oh, it's very, very nice, thank you.
Yeah,
it is. It's very cosy, I like the three-piece.
Well, yeah, we like it. I'm glad you like it too.
Mm, now, very, very smart.
Can I offer you a drink, Peter?
Thank you.
A cup of tea here, but it's gone a bit cold, because it's one I made earlier. Oh, I'm sorry, Peter.
That's a catchphrase,
a reference to
I know.
A show, and you don't like references to Blue Peter, do you?
I don't mind. No, I mean, I don't mind being people referring to things that I've done in the past that they might consider good. And I think Blue Peter was a terrific show to work on. So, no, I'm quite flattered when people remember.
Yeah. Mm. You see, with great respect, I preferred Magpie.
Did you?
Because I like Mick Robertson. He had an afro like Leo Sayer. He looked like he could have been in Godspell.
He did. It's an interesting admission, that, John. But no, a lot of people did like Magpie in preference. They had the choice, but Magpie only survived for 6 years, and Blue Peter's still going after, is it 40 now?
That's an astonishing length of time.
It is.
Hey, you lived in Derbyshire for a while, didn't you?
I did, yes. In a little village called Bamford, not far from here, just over the hill.
You're joking. Hmm. Know the area well.
Where the reservoirs are, you know, Lady Bow.
I go there regularly to check the level.
Do you?
Yeah, don't you?
No. I mean, I know how many gallons there's supposed to be in there, but I mean, I've never checked.
Were you there when you used to be able to see the little spire in the drought?
No, they knocked it down. People used to swim out to it, and that's why they decided to demolish it. It was dangerous.
Yeah, I remember trying to swim out to it when I was a little lad.
Did you?
But I lost my nerve. When I got a couple of feet, I lost my nerve. Turned back, you know, just did a U-turn.
Yeah.
Sensible thing to do.
Very, very.
I was holding on to a stick anyway that my mum had. Extended out, you know, lovely. Anyway, you had a pub in Derbyshire, did you?
Your parents? Well, my parents did, yeah. Yeah, yeah, it was a free house, the Yorkshire Bridge Inn.
Did you do a pub fair?
Yeah, they had a little restaurant. They used to serve things like ham and eggs, which were absolute luxuries, you know, because people didn't...
Eggs and gammon. Yeah. Porriannon.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Do you know that one?
No.
Would you like to hear it?
Yeah.
Right, because I've got my keyboard in the lounge. Ooh, lovely. And the musical guest hasn't arrived yet, so why not?
Yes.
It's a bit cheeky for early evening, but we shall be all right. It's a fun track, Peter. Ten had some eggs and gammon at a restaurant in Rhyln. Then he went with his wife Rhiannon to the campsite on the hill. The night was very windy, though outside it was still. Oh, eggs and gammon, Rhiannon and Ken had wind. Oh, eggs and gammon, poor Rhiannon and Ken's bad wind. That's the sound I should have had, Peter. But the first one worked as well, didn't it?
Yes.
They opened up the tent flaps, but the smell, it seemed to stay. They tightened all the guy ropes just in case they blew away. They saw a daddy long legs get on his knees and pray. Oh, eggs and gammon, poor Rhiannon and Ken had wind. Eggs and gammon, poor Rhiannon and Ken's bad wind. And in the morning, the storm, it did subside. Ken went to the doctors and some medicine was prescribed. What of the daddy long legs? Well, I'm sorry to say, he died. Oh, eggs and gammon, poor Rhiannon and Ken had wind. Oh, eggs and gammon, poor Rhiannon and Ken's bad wind. Oh, blimey, eggs and gammon, poor Rhiannon and Ken had wind. Eggs and gammon, poor Rhiannon, Ken's bad wind. Oh, pardon me, Vicar.
If you want to cry less and fill your life with mirth, tune in your wireless to Radio Shuttleworth.
Yes, who are you?
Hello, I'm Phil Nicol.
Yeah. I see.
Yeah, have you made an appointment for me?
No, you made an appointment to yourself, lad. In you come.
Impress an impresario, a chance to join Ken Stable. Impress an impresario, a deal is on the table. Impress an impresario, and I'll make you a star, you know. Win Ken's applause, the world is yours, incur his wrath. It's an early bath.
Mm, it will be.
Yeah. Not in the lounge, thank you, Phil. Peter Purvis is in there, playing with my dog, Kirsty. Hey, don't go upstairs. My wife Mary's up there practising her lines. Into the kitchen, please. Find yourself a bar stool, and I'll look for Ken. Ah, here he is.
John, would you like to try this lizard skin waistcoat on for size?
Ken, I've told you, I'm not playing the crocodile. I want to be Captain Hook.
Well, I'm sorry, John, but you're too nice. Captain Hook's nasty.
Well, so am I. I've just performed Eggs and Gammon, which is a song that pokes fun at you, Ken. Well, you know, that shows I'm quite nasty, really.
No, it's a fun track, John. There's no malice aforethought.
There was.
No.
There was.
Anyway, I've a prospective client here, John, who I must audition.
All right.
So if you don't mind. Phil, would you like to do your vocal warm-up, please?
All right, okay.
You poo-poo, you poo-poo, you poo-poo.
How's that? I learned that at RADA.
At RADA?
RADA.
Oh!
RADA.
Yeah, you know, that's where Peter O'Toole went.
Do you do acting?
I do a bit of acting, yeah. I'm not really actually a musician, to be honest. I'm an actor first and a musician second.
Phil, I'm out in a production of Peter Pan, but we haven't got a lost boy.
Oh.
I think I found the lost boy.
Oh, really?
In you.
Oh, I'd love to.
Because you've got lost eyes.
Yeah.
You look like you're looking for your parents.
Yeah. Mm. And I'm lost, generally.
Well, the part's yours if you want to.
I'd love to do that. Do I get to keep the socks?
What do you mean?
Hey.
You poo.
It'll be all right, Ken.
Perhaps
you should play a Red Indian, Ken. Then I can be the lost boy.
No, John. You're the crocodile, and that's final. Phil, your first number, please.
Sure, no problem.
My father's wig is as big as Africa.
Ooh.
My father's wig is as big as a continent, yeah. My father's wig is hairy and big, John.
See?
My father's wig, it's a big wig, a big wig, a big wig. Yeah, he wears his wig with pride, regardless of its size. And when he wears it on the town, great big buildings tumble down. My father's wig is hairy and big. It's a big wig, yeah. My daddy's wig is hairy and big. So big a wig, so big a wig, yeah. My daddy's wig, yeah. My daddy's wig, yeah. Come on, my daddy, to say so. My daddy, yeah. My. Da. Said it's a wig, it's a wig, it's a wig, it's a wig, yeah. So my daughter said his wig, say so my daughter, we got someone to see the one more was here. My daddy wears a very big toupee.
No.
Phil Nicol there.
Yes.
What can I say, Ken?
Well.
Without being rude to Phil, he's mad, isn't he?
Possibly. But then I would be mad if I didn't snap him up today.
Mm.
Because one minute is Tina Turner, the next is John Denver. And it's my belief that the different styles should be acted out with the appropriate wig.
I see.
So he'll have a black wig on for Tina Turner, take it off, put a blonde one on for John Denver. And he could sell these wigs at the end of the show.
Oh.
And we'd set him up properly, you know, give him a price list.
Yeah.
And if he ran out of any particular wig, he slips a price list to the punter with a contact number.
Yeah.
Phil, can you sing like Hazel O'Connor?
No, Ken.
I might need to work on that one.
You will.
But there's a good markup on magenta wigs.
Is there?
Welcome aboard, Phil.
I'm gonna make it to Broadway.
Yes, you will.
Well.
You poo poo.
You poo poo. You poo poo. You poo poo. Lovely.
I hope Ken knows what he's doing. You're right, Peter.
Yes.
I see you made friends with Kirsty. She can probably smell your dogs.
She can. She's nice, isn't she?
She is, but she doesn't normally sit like that. All attentive, ears beautifully erect. But of course you know what you're doing with dogs. You used to have your own magazine, didn't you? Mad About Dogs.
Oh, I did, yes. Yeah. You're terribly well-read, John, yeah.
I am. We've got Complete Works of Shakespeare
gosh.
And Jane Austen, that sort of thing. We don't read it, though. We like to keep it in a pristine condition.
Makes the books more valuable eventually.
Well, it's more, they're more to look at, aren't they? Really?
Yeah, very pretty.
Don't start. I was in a pub recently, and this lass started trying to pull the books down. You know, and they're stuck together, aren't they? It's, you know, it's a look at.
And I must say that I've done that, actually. I actually tried to take a book off the shelf in the pub and discovered that.
Well, shame on you.
I'm sorry.
Because you're spoiling other people's enjoyment.
I'm spoiling
the
decor, certainly.
It's decor, and you know that, Peter.
I do.
Yeah.
Yeah, but anyway, yes, I'm still mad about dogs.
Oh, yeah.
And, I mean, I still present the Crofts programmes for the BBC.
You do?
And,
Scrambling?
No, no, that's all finished. That finished a long time ago, all the trials, Kickstart and Junior Kickstart.
Kickstart, I love that one.
Yeah, nice, programmes.
If a little lad fell off his bike, he should have said, he did well. You know, you were very, you know, nice.
I was sympathetic to his injuries, wasn't I?
Yeah, you were. And this is why I found it hard to believe that you'd like to play a baddie, because I've read that somewhere.
Yeah, I'd like to play a really evil character would be quite nice, because I suppose people tend to think of me as someone who's possibly quite nice. Whether I am or not is always debatable. But
no, it isn't. I think you are nice.
Oh, thank you very much.
Yeah, you are.
But, yes, I always want to play the bad character, evil characters. A lot more to get your teeth into to play, and I've never been asked to play one.
Lost boy, well, come here. What's that ticking noise?
Yeah. Not now, you fool. Now listen, I have a plan. You know.
So I've not been asked to either, which is a bit disappointing, I suppose, because I was an actor, but I doubt if I'll ever be asked to act again.
Well, would you be prepared to wear a silly costume?
Oh, yeah.
And swing a crocodile skin handbag around?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Oh. Excuse me, Peter.
Where are you going, John?
Just
going
to get the phone, Ken.
But we need to rehearse.
Yeah, I won't be long. Ken, I think Peter would like to play the crocodile.
Oh, really?
Mm.
I see. Peter, darling. Ken Worthington.
Hello?
Hello?
Who's that?
It's Milton Jones.
And what's the nature of your business?
I've come to make Mary merry.
Aha!
Make Mary merry, make her laugh. Prove alternative comedy is funny, not naff.
Have you been practising?
Yes, I have.
Good. Well, that's all that needs to be said. I'll pass the phone over to Mary. Here she is.
Peter, I'm so glad to find you. Captain Hook is here, behind you.
Ooh.
What do you want, John? I'm practising.
I know, love, but it's time for you to be made merry.
Well, they'll have to be quick, because I've a lot of lines to learn.
Have you? Mm. There's the receiver, love.
Thank you.
Milton Jones, you have a mere minute in which to make Mary merry, starting from now.
Did you hear about that man who got a verruca, then he got two verrucas, then his foot went septic, then his feet went gangrenous? Then he won 20 million on the lottery.
Oh.
Still, I wouldn't like to be in his shoes.
Mm.
Did you hear about that man from Birmingham? Fought in the American army. All the time he was in Vietnam, he kept getting flashbacks to when he lived in Birmingham. What about me? I remember the year all I got for Christmas was a grain of rice. I said, thanks, thanks, yeah, thanks, Uncle Ben. You see, my dad was a doctor and my mum was a nurse. They had six children. We all left home early.
Oh, yeah.
Well, they needed the beds. I remember the year I asked for that game, Operation. Yeah, 3 years I waited. Sometimes I think I should give all this up. But to be honest, there are too many things I enjoy doing, like cooking things in oil. Oh, yeah, sausages, pineapples.
Mm.
But sometimes I feel as if I'm just frittering my life away. I'm a bit annoyed at the moment. Ah! I just bought one of those off-road vehicles, 3,000 quid, got it home, found out it was a canoe.
Stupid.
Hey, no need to shout, lad. Your minute's up.
Well, I was just going to say that was the noise that woke me up last night. Sometimes my grandfather mistakes his inhaler for his loudhaler.
Definitely.
Does he?
He does.
Definitely, John.
Did Mary laugh?
No.
She didn't, and you damaged your ear with that shout.
Right.
And I could hear it, and I was standing, you know, a few feet away.
Right, think about
my apologies.
This is my life.
British Telecom will be on to you for damaging their equipment, unless you own the phone.
No, I'm in a call box.
Are you? Well, I won't keep you then, because I suspect there'll be a queue. Is there somebody wanted to use the phone?
Yes, there is.
Is it a young family?
Yes, it's my family.
I see.
The call box is in the corner of my living room.
Nah. You sound quite a prankster.
Thank you.
Nutty professor or something.
Mm.
Yeah. Anyway, Milton, lovely to talk to you.
Well, likewise.
Yeah.
Up to a point.
Ooh. Right. Cheerio, then.
Cheerio.
Bye.
Bye.
Milton Jones there, proving yet again that Bobby Davro has got nothing to worry about.
Radio Shuttleworth.
Pancreas, you're my favorite organ, pancreas. You do all the dirty work, pancreas. I need an operation, pancreas, don't think that I'm a jerk. Well, I never did anything to hurt you, but I've got this terrible pain in my gut. And when the doctor sticks his big knife in, pancreas, it's gonna hurt a lot. So, pancreas, when they put me under, pancreas, please don't start to cuss. Pancreas, we never got time to thank you. So, pancreas, here's thanks from all of us. Thanks, pancreas, we love you.
Oh, Phil, you've thrown me casting into disarray. You're clearly cut out to be the crocodile.
All right, okay.
Because in that song, your vocals revealed a lounge lizard quality, which I'd not noticed before.
Okay, cool.
And your eyes are bulging a little bit, you know, it's quite reptilian. You could sing songs about different organs that you've eaten. You could bite off a lost boy's finger and then sing a song about it whilst doing a finger jive. Do you know what I mean? Hey, why don't you play the lost boy and the crocodile? Then you can bite off your own finger. Oh, no, it's silly.
You can. What's going on?
Oh, John, help me out. I'm tying myself into knots here.
You are. And you're driving your cast crazy with these constant changes. I agree. Phil will make an excellent crocodile. But I'm seriously concerned for his sanity.
Yes.
And Peter was looking forward to being the crocodile. He's going to be devastated.
Somehow, I don't think he will be.
What do you mean?
Eh? Smee, you blithering idiot!
Oh, Ken, you've given the role of Captain Hook to Peter Purvis.
Yes.
Ooh, you are!
And he's very good, isn't he?
He is.
Well, he's always wanted to play a baddie.
Mm.
And I'd forgotten something.
What?
My frilly shirt's in the wash.
Oh.
So I spilled some Malibu on it.
The girl, Wendy's, nowhere to be seen.
Oh.
She slipped her knots and jumped ship.
Right, John, it's you now.
Oh, what? Peter Pan suddenly comes in, does he? Presumably that's the part I'm playing now, is it?
No, you're Smee.
What?
Come on, say the line.
Sorry I'm late, Captain Hook.
Yeah, you will be. Clean the ship from top to bottom, you fat fool. Here's a cloth.
Oof, no, that's Mary's best dishcloth, Peter.
Don't argue with me or I'll run you through me cutlass, you salty dog.
Oof, Peter, your brow's Kirsty. Kirsty, get down. Captain Hook. Oh, Peter.
Yes.
Oh, Ken, this is chaos.
Yes.
And we haven't even got a Peter Pan.